Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. Book of Daniel. My God is judge. And He is. He does not need our help in judgment. And He does a real fantastic job of it. Now, we come to the seventh chapter in the book of Daniel. And I must warn you that the seventh chapter is written 3 years, or happened 3 years before chapter 6. So chronologically, it's out of order, but then there is a reason for it. It will be the last chapter using the Babylonian tongue, which is to say, the very words itself from back at the beginning of the book when the captivity took place. It's all been written in Syriac or Aramaic. And this will be the last chapter that is written, which means we were freed from them, freed from that captivity of Babylon. Why would we go back to the last king of Babylon? Because the whole book is symbolic of the king of Babylon in the end times. Not the king of the Medes, not the king of the Persians, but the king of Babylon, the type that would be for the final king of Babylon, which is to say, Satan himself as the false Messiah. This particular chapter would happen about 429 B.C. Daniel would be about 82 years old when this would transpire. This is a dream Daniel had, and it is a continuation from chapter 2, verse 44, where the first vision that Daniel interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar of the golden head and so on and so forth down to the 10 toes, when the stone that was made with a human without hands struck the image and it fell. Well, this picks up there, and let's just go with it without further word, and then you will understand. So, Belteshazzar died in the 31st chapter, of chapter 5. So we are backing up 3 years before that incident happened. And here we go with it. Chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. So here we have the last king of Babylon, and we have that type that is set forth of the fall of the whole dynasty in the end times. To let you know, that's what this dream is about. To carry that even further, to give you the details of how what consummates the end of this age. Verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Now, naturally, you want to remember who that great sea is. You learned of it in chapter 17, the great book of Revelation. It's the people. And anytime the four winds are mentioned, it's talking about the end of time as far as this dispensation of time is concerned. In other words, it's real easy to remember. You will find the four winds mentioned in chapter 7 of Daniel and chapter 7 of the great book of Revelation. You'll remember in chapter 7 in the great book of Revelation, the four winds were about to bring about the end, and an angel appeared and said, stop the winds until we seal the servants of God in their forehead. Well, this is the same four winds. They have to do with the end times. The four winds are even mentioned in another seven in Ezekiel 37. And the four winds there have to do with the prophesying to the dry bones, which consist of the whole house of Israel. That what was Ezekiel told to do? To preach to them, teach them, whereby they're not spiritually dead anymore. And truth becomes builds on truth and bone on bone until finally we have a living spiritual body that follows the true Christ and understands concerning the four winds and the prophecies of our Father concerning the ultimate consummation of the end of this age. So this is to let you know how important this particular dream was that was given Daniel. Where did it come from? Our Father. Our Father wants you to know. Verse 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. I like to consider these the four hidden dynasties that we know that are utilized to bring to tow the people. That is to say, the four hidden dynasties of political, financial, educational, that's our school systems, and last but certainly not least, religion. And those things are utilized in a peaceful way, but yet a cruel way, to bring our people into tow. The one world government trying to control all business, financial, educational, banking, you name it, worldwide. All wired together, real tight. Verse 4. These four, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand up on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This is Enosh. And naturally, these four animals are the same four you read of in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, that have to do with the deadly wound. And they are the same animals mentioned there, but they're not animals, they're nations. And of course, the last that stands up and is a man is the Antichrist, ultimately. 5, and behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. And so it is. We know that the deadly wound transpires, and three of the so-called kingdoms will certainly be put out of business, so to speak. 6, after this, basically Christian kingdom, if you're not careful. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard. They can't change their spots. They always remain the same. Which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. The four hidden dynasties. The one world system taking over political, financial, educational, and last but not least, religion. And God has warned us over and over concerning these four hidden powers, dynasties, in the great book of Zechariah as an example concerning the end times. Verse 7. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Now, you're all pretty well familiar with this particular entity. And you know who it is. It's the 10 horns that he brings with him are 10 supernatural kings. And naturally, there is only one son of perdition, and he is that great one. You know, we just covered this in the 17th chapter of the great book of Revelation. I'm going to read it, the 11th verse of chapter 17, Revelation. See if it calls to mind. And the beast that was and is not, and which is the of the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition, meaning Satan, the only son of perdition, meaning the only entity by name that is already sentenced to perish. That's what perdition means. 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. Why? They're supernatural. They come with Satan as Antichrist. But receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, which is to say the false Messiah. That 1 hour, of course, is the hour of temptation. the hour that God's elect will stand against the false one. 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And so they are. And so you are. You know the truth, and you will make that stand. You are being given here this vision of the final fall of the king of Babylon. This is exactly how it goes down. Again, I will remind you a continuation from chapter 2, Daniel, verse 44. Now, let's take a little closer look at it. Next verse, please, back in the 7th chapter of Daniel, verse 8. I considered the horns. I looked their power over. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Just like it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. The religious beast, that is to say, the false Christ, the Antichrist. He looks like the lamb slain. He has power. He's got those horns. But out of his mouth, it's the voice of the dragon, which means none other than the devil himself coming in that power. Let there be no deception on your part. Listen to God's word. Don't listen to some ratchet jaw that would pull you away and have you worshiping at the feet of this one. Verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. I don't have to tell you who that is. That's our Father, Almighty God, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. In other words, those wheels in the Ezekiel, those vehicles that on which brought God's throne to this earth. And he's coming back. And he's coming back this time not for the Son to be crucified, but to rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. And so it is. In the last days, let there be no doubt, excuse me, that our Father will return. Our Father will take power. In Ezekiel chapter 16, he made an eternal covenant with the city Jerusalem. That's his favorite spot in the whole universe. Therefore, naturally, as it is written, he will abode there. The new kingdom will be there when he establishes it. And not until. Verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. That's the Holy Spirit. A thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And so it is that at that time, that great white throne judgment, it's going to be an awesome time. Verse 11. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, that's the Antichrist, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, this event transpired, if you remember the book of Revelation, before the great white throne judgment. Well, what is this little horn? You with companion Bibles are very fortunate. Probably when this little horn, it's either the 7th or the 8th chapter, I believe the 7th, you're given about 8 names of Satan that he utilizes to exploit and bring his power upon the peoples. And as it is written, the whole world will whore after him because of this little horn, this very wonderful voice that comes in prosperously and peacefully, and the whole world wonders after him. But when was the office of Antichrist cast into the fiery furnace? It was before the great white throne judgment. You'll find it in the 19th verse. I'm sorry, the 20th verse of the 19th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. I'm going to read it for you. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that's the little horn, the Antichrist. That's the one world political system and the Antichrist that wrought miracles before him. I mean, it was awesome. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. That is to say, they didn't know the difference between the true Christ and the false Christ. From false Christ saying, I've come to rapture you out of here. They jump on his wagon. And them that worshipped his image, these both. Both who? The one world political system and the false Christ, the office of the false Christ. Not Satan himself, but that office. Were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, that's Christ himself, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What comes from the mouth of Christ? The word, the truth, this word that programs you, that forewarns you, prepares you, for these events, the downfall of the king of Babylon. And so it is. This is why that you see that Revelation and Daniel overlay each other and bring you the full consummation of the end of this age, where there's no doubt, whereby you have a clear picture, an understanding, the chronological order of events. When this false office, he's going to be placed in the pit for 1,000 years, the millennium, and then released a short season, but he will not have the powers of Antichrist or anything else. Just boldly himself, that's it. And then he also, that is to say the dragon, Satan himself, into the lake of fire. That is known as the second death. Returning to the 7th chapter of Daniel, verse 12. Let's pick it up there if we may. Verse 12 reads, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. For the millennium period. Antichrist, world government, end of the fire. In other words, they don't exist anymore. But God, through the Son, will reign with God's elect for 1,000 years upon this earth to give everyone an opportunity that have had the wool pulled over their eyes, whereby they have an opportunity to see truth. For many people, you might say, well, are you teaching a second chance here? No, God doesn't give you a second chance. But with what's being taught in this world today and by many ratchet jaws, the people don't have a prayer of a chance to escape worshiping the false Christ. They're not even taught that the false Christ comes first. They're taught, you don't have to worry. You don't have to read Revelation. You're going to be gone. Gone to hell if you're not real careful. Because Satan's loading his wagon up before the true Christ comes. Make sure you don't get aboard. Verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, to God Himself, Yahweh, and they both brought Him near before Him. 14. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, how many was that? All people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And so it is that the Lord returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the Ancient of Days as well, as we covered in the 21st chapter of the great book of Revelation, establishes the heavenly spot. Right on Jerusalem, that is to say Mount Zion, God's favorite place. And the whole world comes that overcome only the part that overcome. The rest are gone. They're in that lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. It was in the fact that these things would transpire and people would be deceived. 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by, and I asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Now here you're going to have an angel interpret this, and it's the angel of the Lord. Meaning the Lord himself will be interpreting this, so I wouldn't mess with it too much if I were you. I would receive it. Verse 17, these great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. In the latter days, they will be earthly kings, not supernatural, not those that Satan brings with him. 18, but the saints of the Most High, that's God's elect, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And so it is. By what power? By the power you just read of in the last verse of the 19th chapter of Revelation. That white horse on which the Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, approaches on. And his word, his tongue, does away with everything that does not align with the true frame of God's mind. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others. This is a nondescript. It's the Antichrist. Exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. There is no deception like stealing someone's belief away from them with lies and deception. That's cruel. Satan delights in it. Verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, that little one, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, that's the little horn, and a mouth that spake very great things, the false Christ, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And of course we know in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, there he is described. Looks like the lamb slain, only, like you would think it was Christ. Only when you listen to him, it's the devil speaking, the dragon. You don't ever want to forget that, my friend. Because this one speaking great things, most people that are not learned of Father's word will believe him and follow him. They are loaded and locked for it. Having been told by certain ratchet jaws, you don't have to know the book of Revelation. You're going to be gone. This is where they're going if they're not very careful. Right into deception. 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. As it is written in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21, God's elect will be delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, but for a very special reason, during the hour of temptation. That is to say, Satan's rule on earth. To allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them, they are not to premeditate what they will do or say, but do as the Holy Spirit speaks, so that the whole world will have an opportunity to hear the truth. As a matter of fact, it is written in Luke 21 that even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say, though it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. That will come to pass. It is written. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. After the great white throne judgment, there is no wickedness, no evilness. 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and religions, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Do you know something? There's no place in history you can find that happened. No place in history. Well, I wonder why. Because it's future. That's why. It is future. There's not even a type for it. Because it is that one world dominance by the false one. When you were warned in the book of Revelation that the whole world goes after the false Christ, thinking he is Christ, that are not God's election. Yep, you won't find it in history because it hasn't happened yet, but it's right now at the door, and it shall happen. 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. This is the ten kings that the false Christ brings with him, and he is that final horn. They are all supernatural fallen angels, along with Satan himself as the Antichrist. He always wanted to play Jesus. That's why he was in the beginning the cherub that covereth, meaning he was protecting the mercy seat, the seat of Christ. Only he wanted to be Christ. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 tell you the outcome. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand unto a time and times and a dividing of times. That's 3.5 times. He makes right wrong and wrong right. Turns everything upside down. He flatters those that will turn against true teachers of God's word. He flatters those that will turn against God's elect, who will not accept the false Messiah. They call him a fake, and naturally, doesn't make them very popular with him. So they are shunned and put to one side and persecuted, if possible. But it's not possible. Why? God's on the throne. God is in control. And God protects, leads, guides, and directs. And he does right up to that last minute. Now, you know from the great book of Revelation, as it has been opened to you, that chapter 9 declares that these 3.5 years have been shortened to a 5-month period of time. Christ did that for us. Else he would say in Mark 13, there would be no flesh saved. I mean, that's how deceiving Satan is. But that one will come, and he will make everything. He talks in reverse, which is very confusing to one of God's elect. Why? There's no understanding it, because it's crooked, twisted, out of shape. It's of the devil. Everything of the devil is twisted, out of shape, and not comfortable. But those that are unlearned, that have not read this letter that God sent to you telling you how to not be deceived, by this special angel interpreting this dream that Daniel had following chapter 2, verse 44, the downfall of that king of Babylon, Satan himself, how it will transpire. He's given it to you, whereby you can't go wrong. He does come, and he catches everybody he can off guard. Do you know, this is perhaps a good time to explain the mark of the beast. He is the beast, and his mark is to be lied to by him and accept him as Jesus Christ coming to rapture you away. That's Satan's teaching. And unfortunately, many people buy it. That's a sad, sad case. But that should be right is made wrong, and that is wrong is made right. I hope you understand how to find that is right. You're reading it, the Word of God. Verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. As it is written in Mark 13 and Matthew 24, Christ destroys it. God's elect stand against it. 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, God's election, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. There will be nothing negative following that point. All that love Father will follow him, and the wickedness will be done away with in that same fire. God is a consuming fire. He does away with evil. His Holy Spirit warms the heart with love of those that follow him. 28, to complete the chapter. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. I sealed it there. Why? It was for a time and a place. It's for the latter generation. It is for their knowledge, their edification, and their understanding. You will have that nailed home before we complete this book of Daniel. So there you have it. Daniel's dream following Nebuchadnezzar's dream, dreams brought forth by Almighty God himself, whereby you would not be confused in the end times. Let him know that you love him for that. Won't you do that? Don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number, good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii. Hey, all over Canada, if the Spirit moves, you got a question, share it, won't you please? Never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We will not judge people. Fine, we have a judge. It's our Father. And he wants that department to himself. You should discern. Though, you should be able to discern the works of Satan. After reading God's letter, you should be able to recognize Satan's workings and know and understand he works in those four hidden dynasties: political, financial, educational, and last but not least, religion. So be able to discern and spiritually know what is right, and never let anyone turn it upside down. Okay, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request? Don't need a number, don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. What? You're his child. You're unique. He made you different than, he created you different than anyone else. DNA, fingerprints, you are unique. But he does want you to love him. That's why he created you. And he returns that love. Make sure, he may not love what you're doing, but he does love you. Repent, let him know. Won't you do that, Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, question time. And we're going to go with Faye from Georgia. I'm wanting to ask about Acts 11, verses 4 through 9. God told Peter to eat that food that was called unclean. However, God said that anything he made was not impure. Is this correct? No, it isn't. God said everything he made is good. But you see, continue reading the 11th chapter and get the whole story. What was God's plan? It wasn't eating scavengers. It was that Cornelius' servants were at the gate already knocking. And Peter was to call no man unclean, meaning Gentiles. He was not to call any man common. That's what God was driving the point home, not eating bad food. And Peter knew that, and that's why Peter would never touch it, and God withdrew it back to heaven. You need to make a note of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. That's kind of where you're pulling from with your second statement. Don't ever let anyone judge you in marriage, and don't ever let anyone judge you in receiving food that God has created to be received. Now, God didn't create everything to be received, but it's still good because it is scavengers and it keeps disease cleaned up from the earth so that you don't get sick. But if you are ignorant of God's word and you eat the scavenger that has absorbed all the disease, such as worms and you name it, this, that disease and the other, guess what's going to happen to you? That's why God wrote Leviticus chapter 11, so that you would be healthy and so that you would be consuming the proper foods. It is true. Everything that God created is good. It serves a purpose, but not all of them are to be eaten. They will make you ill. Okay, Caroline from South Carolina. Greetings to you. I thank God for you. Well, thank you. And your teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Please explain Matthew 24, verses 19 and 20. Thank you in Christ. Caroline from South Carolina. 19 is woe to those. This is the great chapter of Christ's return. And he says, when I come back, woe to those that are with child and that give suck. Why? Well, he's her husband. He's been away for 2,000 years. If he comes back and finds you nursing a small child, what does that mean? It means you hopped in the sack with the Antichrist, spiritually speaking. You were spiritually impregnated. And not only were you spiritually impregnated, but you were nursing along Satan's work, helping deceive innocent people. That's a bad way to be. And then verse 20 is to pray that your plight be not in the winter. When do you harvest? You don't harvest in the winter. And the harvest time is when Christ returns to gather souls. Don't be harvested out of season. That's what he means. Great information and the simplicity and the way that Christ brings it forward, that anybody can understand the emotions of God and his jealousy against those that will not remain spiritual virgins but fall off and worship of all people the Antichrist, Satan. Brenda from Arkansas, where in the Bible can I look to find that Cain was not Adam's son? Well, do you know what a genealogy is? You'll find Cain's genealogy is chapter 4 in the great book of Genesis. Adam's is chapter 5, and you will not find Cain in Adam's genealogy because he was not Adam's son. Many people show their ignorance in reading God's word. They do not understand chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, what happened at that conception. Jesus would tell you who Cain's father was in St. John chapter 8, verse 44 and verses following. Jesus would tell you again who his father was in Matthew chapter 13 concerning the tares. beginning reading with verse 35 through 40. Ryan from Wisconsin, will we be in flesh or spiritual bodies when we are delivered up before Satan? You'll be in flesh bodies. How will we be aware that the two witnesses are here? They're fantastic. You'll know. The Holy Spirit lets us know. Billy from Georgia, Billy, you be friendly with only those God leads you to be friendly with. You're in good shape. You let the Lord know you love Him. You don't have to be friendly with people that abuse you or use you. But God leads you. You listen to Him. You're not alone. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Ruby from Arkansas. The in Christ the dead will rise first. Then who remains will be caught up to Him in the air, so there will be with Him forever. Please explain what the difference between rapture and caught up to Him in the air. Well, of course, you're quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13, where it says, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, you surely believe that all that have died in Him, sleep in Him, are with Him. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. They've already been caught up. They're with Him instantly. And then he continues on and said, at the seventh trump, that's the last trump, all of us will be changed into spiritual, we'll meet Him in the air. Do you know what that means, what that word is in the Greek? It's not atmosphere, it's breath of life bodies, meaning spiritual bodies. We're changed instantly into spiritual bodies at the seventh trump. It's just like it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 32. Miranda from Texas. Thank you, Pastor Marie. My mom has been watching you for about 6 years. She never really liked other churches because they didn't teach like you. I'm not saying that they are bad or anything, but she really liked yours. Well, that's great. She got diagnosed with liver cancer and started watching it even more. But she got worse and she fought for about 2.5 years. And she was really changed by you. She couldn't get out a lot because she was so weak and hurting. Therefore, she watched your program even more. She died on the day Jesus died, before He rose again. But anyway, I have a question. Is it all right for me, being 12, not to be afraid of dying or being excited to die? I'm not going. No, we know that you're with the Father. When you pass away instantly, you're with Him. And you certainly, all Christians look forward to that time. But as long as you got duties here, God has a use for you being here. And you want to follow your mother's example. She was a trooper right up to the end. Should I be afraid or excited to die? No, you shouldn't be. Nobody should be. It is natural that we have a built-in self-survival instinct that God placed there, meaning that we are very careful. Why? Because we've got God's work to do. And we have to be very careful that nothing doesn't happen to us. My uncle also said that my mom was a witness and stayed to do her job. Can you explain that to me? I don't really understand. Well, she stayed as long as she could. Her job was taking care of you. To set that example, she was a witness to you. That's what your uncle means. Sounds like he's a wise man. So God bless you. You don't have to be afraid of anything. God is with you. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 13, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And your mother, your loving mother, is with Almighty God in heaven, even at this time, looking down and watching out for you. Robert from Oregon, does he have any memories of his time in Korea? I assume you're talking about myself. There's no way you could have been in North Korea up near the reservoir in the winter of 1950 and not have memories of it. We had a lot of company up there with only 12,000 of us and the enemy about 300,000. And it sure wasn't lonely. A lot of company up there, and quite a battle, a great battle. And so, yeah, I have a lot of memories of it, and it's not something for this time and place, but it's things you never forget, naturally. Kalitha from South Carolina, where can I find the Song of Moses in Revelation? The Song of Moses itself is written in Deuteronomy chapter 32, but in the book of Revelation, it is mentioned in chapter 15, along about verse 3 and 4, that it is the song that people sing that overcome Satan, the beast system, and are on their way to heaven. So that makes the Song of Moses extremely important to know and to understand, because that's what people literally are singing on their way to heaven. It tells you how to overcome and be on your road to heaven, and how not to let the enemy deceive you. William from Pennsylvania, please explain Genesis 29, verses 32 and 35. Does the word again mean she continued in labor? No. The word again, as it is used here, is od. You're thinking of the translation of the word again in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, which is yasaf, which means continued. So in Genesis 29, it's od, which just means simply it happened again. But the word yasaf, as it again is used in Genesis 4, 2, means she continued in labor. In other words, she was giving birth to twins. Denise from Pennsylvania, my friend has lost her faith in God because her daughter has gotten ill and she blames God. What can I say to help her? You want to read her Jeremiah chapter 23, begin reading with verse 33 through about 40. And let her know what God's feelings are about people that blame Him for things when we're the ones that cause it, or other people on earth are the ones that cause it. God takes a very dim view, because He doesn't place burdens on anyone. And again, I'm going to repeat that. I think it's important that you cover it with her. Jeremiah chapter 23, begin reading along about verse 33. Mildred from Oklahoma. Pastor, I'm 36 years old and just now have started reading the Bible. I have repented and asked Christ into my life, but I worry if I will have time to get the knowledge that I need. You will. In the first place, if you have the knowledge to know the false Christ comes first, it's not you that speak when you're delivered up before the false Messiah. It's the Holy Spirit. That's where our knowledge lies, is in the Holy Spirit. But continue studying. It is the Word of God, and when you take Christ in yourself, for He is the Word, then it does nothing but improve your life from beginning to end. Okay, welcome aboard. It's good to have you. Pastor, this is who? Don't know who this is. Pastor, I was brought up believing in the false doctrine of rapture. Now I have a hard time communicating with my parents and other family members. What scriptures can I use to help them to understand? I would recommend that if you're love your family. Don't never argue Bible with family. They are too important. Discuss, yes, as long as it does not offend them. But never cast your pearls before swine either. By that I mean when it's not doing any good. But the first thing you need to do is really educate yourself. I don't know if you've ever had my work on the rapture doctrine, but order that tape or tapes and be really connected with what God has to say about it literally. And that way, if they question you, you can answer. That's the best way, all right, to be well-founded. But love them. They're your family. Amy from New York. In Jesus' time, did they count the calendar by the new moon? How do we know exactly when the spring equinox is? Is Passover exactly 15 days from the spring equinox? That's correct. The new year begins at the spring equinox. Well, how do we know the spring equinox? Solar. When the sun passes to this quadrant from the south, that is the spring equinox. And it happens every year on either March the 20th or March the 21st. The moon rotates and is never accurate. Over and over it goes. The sun is precise. And we are children of light, not of moons, not of the night. So you always go by the solar calendar in God's Word. And that's how you count it. Ed from Florida. My question is about tithing. I watch several religion programs and attend a home church. Where should I send my tithes to? What does the Bible say? You tithe, it's just common sense. You tithe where you're taught God's Word. You may have to split it, but because you may be taught in more places than one. But it must be God's Word that is taught, not man's traditions. That's you might read the second epistle of John. I'll say it again. The second epistle of John, in the three little epistles John wrote. Because in the second epistle, if someone has a different doctrine and you support it, even as much as wishing them Godspeed, you become a partaker of their evil deeds. So if God puts a conviction on you from that, then you want to be real careful. Ed from Florida, can you use anointing oil to help yourself speak more clearly, to help choose my words correctly? You can, sure, anoint yourself and pray for wisdom, okay? Pray for God to give you. Don't ever be ashamed to ask God for what you need. That's what prayer is. If you need to be a better spokesperson, you know, look at Moses. Moses had difficulty speaking. And he told God, he said, words just don't come easy for me. Well, he gave him Aaron, number one, but also Moses was a prophet. And he did real good. Why? God blessed him. So just when you need to speak better, ask God for that ability and practice. And always get your subject down and to know where you're going with it. What, when, where, and why, and then be quiet. Okay. When you get those points made, you're through talking in your subject. That's oversimplification, but perhaps it was give you a little head start there. Ed from California. Jesus and the Father, are they the same person? Well, have you ever read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? What does it say? It says, a virgin shall conceive, and she will have a son, and you will name him Emmanuel, being interpreted God with you, or God with us. So that's exactly what he was. And in the beginning, God would say, let us create or make man in our image. God included himself, our. And Jesus would say in John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Rich from Kansas. What are the scriptures that exposing the man's nakedness? Thank you. I'm going to assume you're talking about Ham uncovering his father's nakedness, and the sin was created there. It does not mean looking at his naked body. You read of it in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. To uncover your father's nakedness is to lie with your father's wife and impregnate her. Okay, that is your father's nakedness, and you're not to have anything to do with it. You can read it again in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 8. That's why Canaan, the offspring from that union of Ham and his mother, was driven away by Noah because it wasn't his son. Bonnie from Texas. I can't understand about the Gulf, which side you can speak from one to another. Well, it didn't say you can speak from one to another. It says that you can see from one to another. Okay, you can read it. Jesus taught it very simply in Luke chapter 16, and he used two actual men as a parable whereby you could even better yet understand it. Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was poor, had nothing, but he loved the Lord. And the rich man, he didn't care anything about anything or anybody. And when they died, they both went to paradise, one on one side and one on the other. And that makes it pretty self-explanatory. Luke 16, I think you'll see it better. And I'm out of time again. You know what? God loves you when you study His Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. I love you for that, but most of all, He does. He makes His day. And when you make God's day, boy, is He going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, then you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. But most important, this, hey, you listen to me good. You stay in His Word every day. In His Word, it's a good day, even with trouble. Know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding.